بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. To complete the journey of life, one needs to adopt a path. He needs to follow someone, he needs to adopt some path, he needs to imitate something. So in the process of imitating and following, there may be various types of challenges that he will come across. Sometimes it is guesswork. He's trying to work out within himself, what must I do? Sometimes some style seems to be pleasant and attractive, so he goes with that. Sometimes he bases his choices looking at crowds. Crowds are going this side, so he moves on that end. Crowds are going on the other end, so he moves on that end. So the reasons for preference may differ. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, "Man kana minkum mustannan falyastanni biman qad mat." That if you need to adopt a way, then adopt the way of the person that has already passed on. It's a lengthy hadith, but he says the reason for this is, فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. The living, you cannot guarantee that he is secure against fitnas. And the one that has traveled across and reached, so there is no possibility of him becoming a victim of fitna. He's already ended the journey. And you have inspected him right through, right across, you have seen him. He's ended the journey. When he's ended the journey, so there's no problem now, there is no fear that he'll ever become a victim of fitna. But the one that is still in process, he may be straight now, and you do not know where he will drift. You do not know where he will capsize. You do not know whether he will remain straight and consistent. So all those possibilities are there. Now this statement is the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, whom Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Raditu li ummati," I am pleased with my ummat, with that which Ibn Mas'ud is pleased. So he's got a double endorsement. He's a Sahabi, and a Sahabi kan nujum, Ashabi kan nujum, right? So that's one endorsement. And the second endorsement is that follow him in particular. It's a double endorsement. So when it's a double endorsement, that it's impossible that you follow him and you will go off. So he says, then follow those people that have passed on. So those that have passed on, largely, mainly, are the Sahaba-i Kiram, right? When they are the main group of our focus, then we follow them. But then, we haven't seen the Sahaba-i Kiram, and we have heard of them, right? Then there were those that had seen the Sahaba-i Kiram, Tabi'in, and those that had seen the Tabi'in, Tabi' Tabi'in. And when we examine the lives, then we see there is a great conformity. Tabi'in, Tabi' Tabi'in, Sahaba, there is conformity. They're going on the same wavelength, the same style they're going. So all the reason why we should follow that. Right. Then you see the same trail moving on. Tabi' Tabi'in, and then Salaf-e Salihin, and all the pious. And they're going in one line, one single line. So when they're going in a single line, then our heart says, well, when they're going in that same line, inshallah, they will end up in the same place. They moved on the same. So by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, they will end up in the same. Then we see our akabir, our ulama-i kiram, and many of them are on the same trail, same track. any incident of this, any event of this, and there is a conformity in their lives with the Sahaba-i-Kiram. There is conformity in their lives with the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Pick up anything and you'll find a conformity. It's a consistent plan. And if you move away, you drift away from them, then you don't have that guarantee, you don't have the security, whether they're conforming with that same plan or they are moving on to another plan. Theirs is secured, theirs is confirmed. But if you're moving with someone else, then you don't know, they are still under trial. Right? There could be a lot of situations. Right? See, therefore, they gave some hints. Or you follow this, inshallah, you'll come right. So these pious of the past, they gave three hints in basic. In principle, they gave three hints. And they say that when we will discuss and we will talk with each other, then we'll remind each other of these three hints. And this three hints that they have given got its basis in the hadith. So it's a hint, they expressed it in their own words, but it's got the essence in the hadith. مَنْ كَانَ هَمْهُ هَمَّ آخِرَتِهِ كَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ هَمَّ دُنْيَا. His main concern is the concern of the akhirat. When that's the greatest concern, right, then Allah Ta'ala will take care of all his dunya. That's the great concern. So when he's looking at life, how he's looking at life? He's looking at life as though I'm reaching my akhirat. So that's the goal. So his whole focus, his whole outlook is different. Right? He's looking at life with the akhirat in focus. When he's looking at life with the akhirat in focus, then he will take everything in its stride. Right? If there was an accident, there was some adversity, prosperity, sickness, illness, death, loss, whatever, he's taking it in its stride. So no problem is a problem. No difficulty is a difficulty. No stress is a stress. Because he's got a goal before him. Right? You are playing a football match, right? Example of a football match. And you want a training. So the manager is training you, the captain is training you, right? For some reason he saw that you were faulting. So he disqualified you and he suspended you for 3-4 months, for example. For that moment that he has suspended you, you feel bitter, you feel angry, you feel disappointed, you feel disgusted. That I came here for a purpose, the man here, like a wise thing, he just went and suspended me. What he thinks of himself? But when he says, after the suspension was over and you come back, now you are very focused. So focused, I don't want to make this mistake. Now I had 4 months. Khuda kare ke wo char mahina rahe, char saal na ban jaye. It was just 4 months. That's so it doesn't become 4 years. So he's so focused. Then at the end of the whole exercise, when he's selected to play, at a national level, at a professional level, then at the world level, and he becomes the player of the year, then he goes and kisses the feet of his captain. See that 4 months, really, that 4 months was worth it, you know. I became so focused, I tried my best, and today I've reached this, what I've reached. But on that day, on that occasion, he had overlooked my mistake, he didn't tell me anything out of compassion and love. This lesson would have never sunk into my heart. When I got suspended for that 4 months, you know, it was so hard for me. And then I didn't ever want to make a mistake. So today I've got that glory, I've got that respect, the world is kissing my feet. Right? The Ustad is teaching the child in the Hifz class, right? So he's making him udbet one day, up and down, right? So the child is swearing the Ustad, what do you think? I came for making exercise here. Exercise I could do myself. I didn't come to do exercise here. One day he goes, stand outside. One day threw him out of the class. Stand up. One day gave him some pitai. Right? Beated him up, right? Now, in his mind, he can't picture it, he can't work it out, you know, this trial, this difficulty, this pain, embarrassment, the whole class is disgracing me, is running me down, right? At the end, when he comes to the imtihan, and after the imtihan, they put him onto the musalla for Taraweeh, right? And he did a masterpiece there. Everybody is talking about him. He said, Ustad, I must take out my hat for you. All that difficulty, all that trial, that pain, that difficulty, that shouting, all that, today it's paid out. I don't have the price to pay you today. So that mu'min, when he's going through trial, difficulty, someone is slandering, someone is accusing, someone is hitting, sometimes it's prosperity, sometimes it's adversity, sometimes it's good health and sometimes it's bad health, right? Sometimes things are working out, sometimes things are not working out. Muslim has got a goal ahead of him. When he reaches the goal, he thinks to himself, now he sees everything. He says, Allah Pak, you know what? You gave me some reward, but yet you put me into bigger trials. I would have scored even more. Why you gave me so few trials? That happens with man, you know. When a person is in his childhood, he wishes he could have been big, you know, driving cabs and cars and all, right? But when he becomes an adult and all 100 types of responsibilities come onto his head, he said, I could have been a child, you know, moving with a plastic scooter, no responsibility. So you know, you're never happy at any point. When you're a child, you want to be big. When you're big, you want to be a child. So all this confusion comes about as a result of not looking at the goal. You're looking at the goal, everything is easy. Everything. There isn't a thing like pain, there isn't a thing like difficulty, there isn't a thing like anxiety, there isn't a thing like stress, everything is, you're taking in the stride. You know what you're going towards, what you're heading towards, you know it. On your wedding day, for example, right, workers didn't come up, you know. Whatever it was, the celebration day, they didn't come up. So you, in the meanwhile, you invite 1,000 guests. Now you have to go physically and do everything. Let the tables, set the tables, put the everything, whatever, according to the guests that you are getting, right? But at the end, when you got the compliment from your wife's family, and bride, and they, hey, one of its kind, how, who did it for you, who did the catering, and you know that finish, you know, it was one of its kind, and how the, where you got the Soviets from, and where the place, and so, isn't it pays out? Eh? It pays out, everything it pays out. I don't say now, do your wedding in a grand style, but it pays out at the end. It was your wedding day and you did so much. But at the end when you got the compliments and you got that Mubarak Badi, congratulations, you know, it's worth everything. It's worth the last cent. So we go off, where we go off, is we aren't focusing enough towards our goal. When you're focusing to the goal, then everything is easy. There isn't a thing like difficulty in the dictionary afterwards. Koi gham, gham nahi. There's no gham. There's only bubble gum. There's no gum after that. Bare gum. You are free of any gum. The gum is because you're not focusing in the hereafter. Once you focus, then everything is gone. This khatam is supposed to be taking place now first or after? See? No mercy now. Tell me how you planned it out. How you planned it out? See? Alright. Otherwise my mind will be in suspense. People are waiting here, they came for the khatam, and I'm stretching it right till the end here. The Quran Sharif also says, don't leave it in suspense. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Make up your mind. You want to keep the wife, keep her well. Or set her free with respect and dignity. But now you're not keeping her well and you're not separating her, keeping her in suspense. That's not the style of the Quran Sharif. So my mind is now at ease. So no. MashaAllah, he wants it like this. Not a problem. My mind is at ease. Otherwise, now my mind is in suspense. I'm looking at him. I don't know now. They want it now. They want it at the end. How they want it. How they don't want it. See the teaching of the Quran Sharif. It's very beautiful. But why we don't ponder. But ghar ke andar sab cheez hai. In our house, within the house of Islam, everything is there. But do we take out the time to look at Islam, to ponder and to relish, to enjoy, to appreciate the blessings of Islam, do we take the time out? So that was the first point that they used to discuss. The second point that they used to discuss, مَنْ أَصْلَحَ سِرَّهُ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَى نِيَتَهُ. You take care of your heart, and Allah Ta'ala will take care of the rest. You take care of the heart. You put a monitor on that heart. And I think this principle will apply to your physical self as well. If you take care of your internal organs, everything functioning well, pressure is right, blood is right, heart is right, right, sugar is right, all everything internally, then outwardly also you'll work well. You can walk well, you can do work well, mentally you've got the capacity, everything, you've got an interest, you're working quite well. That is provided your internal organs are right. Everything is working and functioning well. It's functioning well, then outwardly you are functioning well. Everything is working right. But if the inside is not right, stomach is not right, lung is not right, heart is not right, then you can't function well. So it works both physically and spiritually. مَنْ أَصْلَحَ سِرَّهُ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَى نِيَتَهُ. This saying, this statement here, I think it was about the first statement that I had heard, Hazrat Ji Mawai Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Soul, maybe some part of it or maybe full of it, but this was about the first thing that I had heard from him. مَنْ أَصْلَحَ سِرَّهُ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَى نِيَتَهُ. I just explain that it is safest to go with the Sahaba-i-Kiram and those that were closest to the Sahaba-i-Kiram. They left a trail, they left a trace, they left a precedent, and it's safe to move with that. Everything else is under trial. Everything else is trial and error. You don't know you're going to be right or not right. He's talking about something, but is he sincere in about what he's promoting? He's marketing a certain style, right? But the thing that he's marketing, is he sincere about it? Does he know what he's doing? So all these questions will come up in the mind. Someone is talking about call women to the masjids. Someone is talking about send women to the university and school, right? So all these things is being debated, right? As though now, these people that are debating all this, they became in charge of Islam. Right. And the strange thing is, they talk about all these things, right? What they're supposed to be discussing is the university right? Is the syllabus in the university right? Rather than asking that the syllabus in the madrasa is right, you go and see that the syllabus in the university is right or not. That person is learning medicine, but he must learn Darwin's theory. How does it relate? There's no relation, absolutely no relation. Go and challenge that, but they won't challenge that. But the madrasa, yeah, no, they got an old syllabus, they're following that old syllabus. They must change, they must come up with the times. Afrikaans, they are offering in school, they're not going to challenge that. How it benefits you? Geography, they are explaining in school, how it benefits you? No, nobody's going to challenge that. But the madrasa, they mustn't do all these things here. Madrasa must be tailored like how they say, the modernists. And some of the modernists are so-called learned people, right? They may be learned people also, but they are modernists. Their whole thinking is off. But really, you don't know the direction they're taking you. Someone is appearing on the TV. Somebody is coming at a conference. And someone is saying, come to, the girls, the word they're using, they're underutilized, right? They're underutilized. But they don't realize that they are over-abused in the university. Underutilized here and over-abused. And when I say over-abused, it's not from my pocket. It is from the same very university professors, lecturers and students. They're like ittifaq on that, consensus. That approximately 90% of them went through some abuse or the other. In the whole profession, approximately 90% of them went. At the beginning, at the end, or whilst they're in their profession, some abuse or something came out when a woman was at the workplace, when she emerged out of the house. So at the end of the conference, the house, see how beautifully they do it, huh? How beautiful. They got a conference with 1,000 ulama, right? Now they're heading the conference, the discussion is going on. So at the end they say, no, you know what? This is just a discussion. So it mustn't be misconstrued. But if it was a discussion, 3-4 people, closed doors, you should have discussed it. What was the need for you to call 500-800 ulama ikram and discuss it? And then when you called 800 or 1000 ulama to discuss it, did you give each person an equal opportunity to express his sentiments and feelings? Or you chose those people that would toe the line with you, would blind follow with you? Yeah, you said, yeah, this is right. Bilkul sahi hai. Tum jo kehte ho, bilkul sahi hai. Whatever you say, yes boss. So that is the type of person that is called, after you called a conference, will keep on saying, yes boss, yes boss, yes boss. Not a person will think individually, independently, in the expediency and the maslahat, the advantage of the Sharia. But his allegiance will be to the conference. What is the theme of the conference? I need to conform with that. So your allegiance, where is it? Is it with deen? Or is it with a conference? What is it with? Where's your allegiance? Allegiance is broken straight away. Or my sati is, what will they say? If I say something, what will they say? So the Quran Sharif has become secondary, the hadith has become secondary, the theme of the conference becomes the primary thing and you must talk about it. Then you're towing the line. But really you don't know who's got what agenda. Where he's taking you, where he's dragging you, how he's leading you, how he's misleading you. So how you say, no, he's being underutilized. And then the second argument they will give, but women, they have to read the namaz at some place. They can go to shops and all that. When they can go to shops and all, why can't they come to namaz? They can go to bazaars, they can go to malls. So, if they can go to these places, then why can't they come to the masjid? Now that is called Bina'ul Fasid Alal Fasid. Bina'ul Fasid Alal Fasid. Now you see this logic that we learn, that logic has to be applied. Now this, when you don't use the right logic and reasoning, then obviously it's going to be wrong reasoning. Now look at one of the Islamic schools, I won't mention the names now, right? People say you're coming personal. So all these words have just come about, personal, judgmental, really, all wrong words, misleading words. Someone's mouth is smelling with cigarette, right? I say, "Bhai, clean your mouth and come." I say, "Don't be judgmental. I didn't smoke." "Bhai, how must I look at the case?" I say, "No, don't smoke. If you need to smoke, then clean your mouth and come." So don't be judgmental. Everything becomes judgmental, you can't even talk about anything. Man was seen acting very funny, going high and low, right? Everybody made out that he's on drugs. So you're on drugs, boy, don't be judgmental. How you going to read the person? From his behavior, you're going to work out the person. But then, how you read the situation, or don't be judgmental. Really, the whole mantik, whole reasoning is gone off. So absolute, the reasoning is gone off. In one of the Islamic schools, I say, right? So now, in Umayyad Rahmatullah's time, right? When he was a trustee of a certain school, right? He told us personally. Now what happened there? The students were playing around with girls, with non-Muslim girls, right? So the trustees now, they got a closed door meeting. In the meeting they are saying, what they are discussing? They're discussing, you see, our boys are getting hooked up with non-Muslim girls. So we need to open the doors of our school to our Muslim girls. So if they get hooked, they get hooked onto our girls. See, that's Bina'ul Fasid Alal Fasid. The basis is wrong. This is haram, that is haram. Whether they get hooked up with non-Muslim girls or they're playing with Muslim girls prior to marriage, both is wrong. But you see, when your reasoning is wrong, then there's no way to explain the person. And you do not know why he's taking you on that line. Sometimes this is shaitanic thinking. It's a hard word to use, but it's the right word. When shaitan was thrown out of the road, right, then he says, "Why must I roast and toast in Jahannam alone?" He says to Allah Ta'ala, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You threw me out, so I'll throw all these people out. I can't be roasting in Jahannam all alone. I need some company. Right? So when a person is in disgrace, he's doing something disgraceful, he's sending his daughter to university, high school, etc., right? Something disgraceful, something lamentable, right? Now he fears to himself, well, if that person is doing, why can't I do it? Right, one. Number two is, he wants to justify his stance. How he wants to justify his stance? That my daughter is not the only Muslim girl that is attending this university. Well, there are others also. So he's making tashkil of others to justify his stance. See. So the first is this shaitanic thought. Shaitan doesn't want to roast alone. He wants a company in Jahannam. Number two, he doesn't want any criticism. So how will he divert criticism? He'll make tashkil for others also. Targheeb for others. Send your girls to university. Why? They're underutilized. And we need Muslim doctors as well. And again, now, they use their brains, but all wrong things they use their brains. Now they say, alright, you know what? We say that you'll need woman doctors, right? So, person that is not reasoning correctly, you'll say, alright, you know what? There are Muslim doctors around. There are Muslim female doctors around. So when there are Muslim female doctors around, then why do you need to send your daughter? So now they say, that's hypocrisy. Because it can be good for others, but not good for your daughter. Now that's the reasoning. You understand the reasoning? That it can be good for others to send their daughters, and you can then use the services of those doctors, but your daughter mustn't be sent to the university. So his hypocrisy is double standard. I said, no, but your reasoning is off. That's what I say, they don't give everybody a chance to speak and speak openly. Only a person that toes the line, then they give him a chance to speak. I'm looking at it from a narrow perspective, very, very narrow tunnel vision. I look at it from a broader perspective, look at the same thing, right? Man is not coming for namaz, not for one namaz he's coming. Somehow the other Tabligh Jamaat made the skill of the person. But a lot of difficulty, after making tashkil, going there, khususi mulaqat, umumi mulaqat, give some samosa, whatever. Somehow the samosa, it struck a chord in his heart, right? Samosas also work, don't worry about it. Strikes a chord. So they got him for the Jummah. When he came to the Jummah, now the mulana, whoever made his tashkil, the jamaat worker, gave him a big hug, mashallah, so beautiful to see you, mashallah. Gave him a very warm reception. Now a person that doesn't know this whole tartib, he says, what are you congratulating him for? For missing six days of namaz. You congratulated him for missing 6 days of namaz. That's what you can. If he says that, isn't he right? But is that the right way to think? That's not the right way to think. The right way to think, but he was not coming to masjid at all. Now we battled, we put ourselves through difficulty, hardship, etc. We brought him at least to the house of Allah Ta'ala. Now we need to work on the person, bring him to second day, third day, fourth day, until he becomes a five-time namazi. So the same now, there is one group who say, no, we're not going to send our daughters, our children to school. We know the harms, right? Like I say, 90% are going through some abuse or the other, big or small. Right? Now when this 90%, when you understand that there's such a big percentage that is going through abuse, right? That is not the right thing to be sending them, right? But now you're saying you're using the services, right? So those that are committed, they have made up their minds that they're going to send their children to university, etc., right? Now the work of the rest of the Muslim public is try and work on this 10% that is going to school. See, after you worked and you got them out, right? What is the so sensible thing? They are not listening. They don't want to take a hearing. Now send the Tabligh Jamaat, some Jamaat or the other, and these girls that are in the lion's mouth, lion's den, somehow work them out, bring them back onto the right footing. That's the right way of thinking. So, what will happen, they will become doctors and all that, but at least their thinking will be right. But from the mimbar to go and encourage them, go to university, etc., then those that were innocent, chaste, clean, pure, all of them, you're putting them into trouble, you're putting them into disaster. So those that are committed to go, they will go, you're not going to stop them. But at least the Tabligh Jamaat, other Jamaat, whoever are working, they'll work on these people here, from the 100 wrong they're doing, at least they'll break away from that 100 wrong, they'll come to 10 wrong, 11 wrong, and 90% of their lives will go right. So you see now, woman doctors coming out in Jamaat. Don't you see that? It wasn't a doctor apa that used to come. A lot of work she has done, right? But she herself will discourage. Dr. Salman has got about 50 years of university, 50 or 60 years of university experience. He says himself, why go and discourage ulama, ask the ulama to discourage the public from coming to university. 60 years of his life is in university, and what he's saying? Go and tell the ulama to discourage people from coming to university. Why? Is he so dead against it? Is he not worried for progress? He's worried about your progress. But he's got Islam at heart. After 60 years now, he eventually realized, you know what, hey, this is wrong, man. Our people are just getting distracted. A man got so much of experience, and he is saying this. So there must be some substance in this. Otherwise, he won't have come to this type of a conclusion that discourage your daughters from going to high school and university. Why is he saying this? So he saw the net end result. What's happening? You're trying for so much, and you're getting 0.5%. 99.5% loss. 0.5% you're getting. Is it worth the business? So we don't know what's the agenda of that person. The one that is trying a new method. You see, one was Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi' Tabi'in, etc. It was their style. Right? And their style is guaranteed. Their style is endorsed. Their style was looking old fashioned, right? But obviously there is no doubt in that. In the integrity, in the respect, in the ways, the mannerism, there's no problem. And this thing is still under trial. You do not know whether it's going to work out, not going to work out. Whether it's going to be a total failure and a disaster, or half a failure and disaster. It's already proven to be a disaster. Right? When it's proven itself to be a disaster, then why do you want other children to get into this disastrous condition? Why? There's so many women that phone about their own children. Mawlana, make dua for my daughter. She's become like an atheist. Open, clear words. Mawlana, she doesn't believe. We try and encourage her, but she laughs it out. It's all old-fashioned. Now, Mawlana is my daughter. I can't go and expose her. What will people think? She won't get any mangoes just now. She won't get any proposals. But she doesn't believe. One advocate came and he needed to get married, right? So he went for one specialist, neurosurgeon, he went for interested in everything. Now, these people's whole tartib is different. So this advocate comes to complain to me. He went and sent a proposal, everything properly, correctly. But the wrong thing he did, they started the conversation. Call it the right thing or the wrong thing. To me, it's wrong, whatever. Premarital relationship, all is wrong. So anyway, I'm just showing this group, this class, how they think, how they behave, right? So in the process of the conversation, this neurosurgeon says, I'm a little bit hesitant about this proposal, etc. Although my mother is very interested, my parents are very interested. So he just asks, but why are you feeling so reserved about this? So she says, I had a relationship with a Hindu now. He's also a doctor. I had a relationship, and I'm very stuck with him. I'm very committed to him. I don't know how I'm going to reconcile this whole thing. So anyway, this advocate, he says, all right, you know what, Ben, what do? You just call this off. Anyway, to that point, at least he was sensible. This was wrong of him to have a premarital relationship, but it was the most sensible thing he did. So he said, Ben, just call this off. Anyway, the girl's mother came to know that he called it off, so she phoned, she wanted to know, oh, why did you call it off? We were interested in all that. So he spilled the beans, he told her, this is what your girl says, that she's got an old standing relationship with the Hindu, right, from the university time, old standing relationship, she don't want to break that. She's very much committed to that, loyal to that person, so she doesn't want to break that. So now this neurosurgeon, she picks up the phone and shouts this advocate, I want to sue you. This was a private thing, Why did you go and expose us? You see their life. This is that filth. Kachra upon kachra. Binaul fasid al-fasid. Filth upon filth. Filth upon filth. My mother got to know now, at this point of her life, that my daughter, my darling, is interested in a Hindu, right? And she kept it away from us. We don't know about it. Now, at this moment, when she is 37 years of age, now we get to know that she is interested in this. Now, what do we do with our daughter? Because financially, she's so strong, so she'll buy all of us out. Now what do we do now? So in this whole exercise, those people that are talking for this, they're talking about this, right? They need to understand that they're going to give away 90% of their daughters, right? 90% or 100% of their daughters, and in return, what they'll get 5% girls right. 95% will be all corrupt. That means after that, when those 95% are corrupt, what will happen to their children? One man came here. I'm just going to show you what happens, right? He's a pilot. Overseas flight. All he's flying, right? About 20 years ago, he came to me. His wife is specializing, right? So, a pilot and he's a specialist. Right? So, he was having a hard time. He wanted to divorce, etc. Got one, two children in between, so a divorce. So, I asked him, you had such a good relationship, you've got children in between. Do you like to see your children as delinquents? Do you like them to be called, your wife to be called a single parent, etc.? Do you like that? So, you don't understand the complication of this life. I thought, marrying a person that is educated or something great, I can speak the same wavelength. Both of us are on the same page. We can talk quickly, we can talk correctly. But now, after so many years, married now at least 7-8 years, I feel it's a total disaster, it's a failure. It's a waste of time, waste of my money, waste of my time, waste of my effort. So why will you call it a waste of your effort? So he says to me, that now we are a family, myself, my wife, my children, we're enjoying a meal, we're enjoying a bride, and suddenly there's a phone call. Now she's a specialist, gynae, right? She's a gynae, now she has to respond straight away. In the midst of the party when we're enjoying everything and she has to leave. That's the mother of the children. Now how do I feel? How do her children feel? Is it right? Is it the right thing for her to do? Wasn't it the right thing for her to give that love to her children? That love, that care, that affection. Wasn't that the right thing? Wasn't that the most sensible thing? But her profession means so much to her that the children can be sacrificed at the altar of her education, at the altar of her wealth. She must make material progress. Children can get sacrificed. They can get qurban, it's alright. They can get slaughtered, it's alright, no problem. See what happens, the complication that it brings about. But nobody wants to identify with reality. They don't want to use the mimbar for this type of things. Call the woman to the masjid, call them to university, call them to high school. I say, is that the purpose of the masjid? Is that the purpose of the masjid? See the reasoning, how it goes. So, what I'm getting at, مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مُسْتَنَّنْ فَلْيَسْتَنِّي بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتْ. Follow a path that is tried and tested. A path that is secure, it's proved itself. For generations, for centuries now, you see, they adopted a certain style, and when they adopted the style, generally the children went right. The daughters went right, the men went right, everybody went and they reached a common goal, right? Don't you see our grandfathers, great-grandfathers, they went right. They didn't know so much about Islam, but genuinely, I must say, that they had the fear of Allah Ta'ala at heart. Maybe they didn't have so much of knowledge. Now every second person is a Hafiz or Hafiza, Alim or Alima, but do they have that level of fear of Allah Ta'ala, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala at heart? So that consciousness, that fear of Allah Ta'ala led them, gave them that light, brought them to the end. Now that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, we're killing it within ourselves and we're supplementing it with knowledge. Now does it work? Can it be used as a supplement? By what was required in your life is the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The concern that I have to die, I have to meet up with Allah Ta'ala. That was the thing that was required. See, so man aslaha sirrahu aslaha Allahu ala niyatahu. You get the inside right, Allah Ta'ala will fix up the outside. Get the inside right. See, the inside, the outside is a reflection of the inner self. The child's behavior is a reflection of the father, is a reflection of his upbringing, right? Is a reflection of his mindset. What is the type of mindset? That is a reflection. So get the inside right, and the outer will be right as well. And I tell you, we apply this in our businesses. Same principle, we apply it in our businesses. You've got two workers working for you, right? One person is not very intelligent, but he's very obliging. Very loyal, very obliging. He'll try to work out a plan for you, look for the business, the quiet moments, the busy moments. He's looking how to progress the business. Although he's not very intelligent, but that he sees weaker. That is his concern. He's coming in with that figure. He leaves with that figure. The other person is super intelligent. He's filling his time. That 8 hours that he has to give, he's filling his time. But for as long as he's in the business, his whole concern, you can see he's filling the time. His figure is somewhere else. You can see it. Then you try to work out, where is this person's figure? What is he thinking about? So all the time that he's there, his concern is, see, all this clientele, I've opened up another shop, I need to divert the entire clientele on that direction. Somehow, discreetly, openly get the addresses and divert them on that side. I ask you, if you discover that, what happens? See, man aslaha sirrahu, aslaha Allahu ala niyatahu. When your heart is right, everything else works out right. In your business also, you apply the same principle, that this person's mind is not in our business. He doesn't have that loyalty for our business. He doesn't have that interest in our business. He is not good enough for us. Take him out. Work him out. Move him out somewhere else. Don't we have that? So the more important thing to correct and rectify is the heart. We'll correct and rectify the behavior, but the heart is even more important to correct and rectify. And I tell you, this applies to your personal life as well. Your personal, very personal life. Now, you in your bedroom, in some intimacy, and you can see from your wife's expression, etc., her mind is not at all with you. She is somewhere else. Whenever you are there, her mind is somewhere else. So, outwardly she is going with emotions. Right? But her mind is not with you, her heart is not with you. You can see from the expression, I asked you, do you appreciate that? But she is a queen, she is so beautiful, she is everything, right? But she is not with you. She is not on the same page. I ask you, do you feel comfortable? You rather take a woman that is half her beauty, but she is with you, she is conforming. She's really in a marriage. She's married to you. Not just a partner, but she is in your marriage. She's with you all the time. So the same principle we applied in our mundane lives, in our dunyavi lives as well. That is the second piece of advice that these people used to give, right? And the third piece of advice they used to give is, مَنْ أَصْلَحَ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ. Right? Our greater concern is, how do we feature, how do we look amongst people? Our relationship, public relationship, mustn't sour. How do we look, how do we feature amongst them? That's become the main concern. If your child failed, you know, how will the child look amongst people? A little bit backwards, how will he look amongst people? What will people talk about my child? So anything happen now, you think of, immediately your mind is going on reputation. What happens? How will I feature? What will people talk about me? What will they say? What will they have to say about me or about my children? I remember when I was a child, you know, so very interested to learn how to ride a bicycle. It's quite small. So at that time they used to have that soft bicycle with a carrier in front, you know. So I went about 10, 20 meters, it was going very well. Then suddenly I just slipped. Now I can still remember my response. My first response was to see, is anybody watching me? Then I attended to my wounds, alright, I got hurt a little bit on the knee or something. I attended to that afterwards. But you see, we become so consumed with people's opinions. How do they look at us? How do we look amongst people? So consumed. So the greater concern must be, how do we feature before Allah Ta'ala? A little bit of sickness or something, how do we look amongst people? In every situation, how do we look amongst people? Is this what we go by? I don't earn so well, so I don't feature within this pure circle. So in everything, we have made people the God. So these pious of the past, what they said, don't look at that. Look at it differently. that in any situation you are, have you got the relationship with Allah Ta'ala right? Everybody will come in their own time, in their own place. Because this whole journey of life starts with Allah Ta'ala. It ends with Allah Ta'ala. And the duration of the journey, you can't separate from Allah Ta'ala. In the whole duration, you can't escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the entire duration. Now these people that talk, we're coming back again, you know, they said, you're going to bazaar and all that, going to shops and malls. The girls can go there so they can come to the masjid as well. Binaul fasid al-fa, that is wrong. So because of that wrong, now you want to justify this wrong. Because of that wrong, you want to justify this wrong. I ask you, who's going to take care of this woman? Young girls, they're coming, moving freely, coming, going, etc. Who's going to take care? They're going to come to the masjid, they're going to draw up and come up. And then everybody doesn't look at them with the same eye. It's not an Islamic country where there's so much of control and polices. Now who's going to control them? Who's going to take care? As it is, as I say, this universities, etc. It's free for all. So everything is happening. Everything is, the last thing is happening there. Now you want the masjid also, that masjid was safe. That was the last thing that we had, you know, at least to maintain some type of sanity, sanctity, we had something. Now you want to destroy and eliminate the sanctity of the masjid as well. So, man aslaha fima baynahu bayna Allah, improve that relationship. You're starting with Allah Ta'ala, you're ending with Allah Ta'ala, you can't escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you leave out Allah Ta'ala from any equation, I ask you, فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ, who can there be for you besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see, everybody else, if you are with them, they can help you to a certain point. They can't help you and assist you unlimited. They can help you alright at some point or the other, medical bill, this, that, they will help you out. But they can't help you unlimited. And I ask you, which favor doesn't come from Allah Ta'ala? Is there anything that doesn't come from Him? When you believe it that everything comes from Him, that you can't escape Him, His power is unlimited, His control is complete and comprehensive, then how can you miss out Allah Ta'ala from any equation? In anything you should be thinking, okay, is Allah Ta'ala happy? Have I broke the relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happy? I got the world through all my university degree, I got the world. But Nabi Sallam is not happy with me. I ask you, iska kya fayda? Is paise maal ko lekar ke kaun se aag mein dalenge? What are you going to do with it? Nabi Sallam is not happy. He's turned his face away from me. With all the wealth, everything. Naam ka Musalman, right? But Nabi Sallam turned his face, Mubarak face away from me. I say, what's the good? So this was the last piece of the advice. Man aslaha fima bayna wa bayna Allah. In everything, smallest or the biggest, Allah Pak happy is alright. I didn't do too much of ibadat, but I didn't break the line with Allah Ta'ala. I didn't overstep the mark. I didn't divert from the haqq. I kept on. Right? I didn't read 20 rakats of tahajjud. I didn't read so much of Quran Sharif. But I seen to it that Allah Pak mustn't be displeased with me. His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mustn't be displeased with me at any time. I made sure about that. When I made sure, I don't have any problem. In life I don't have a problem. At death I don't have a problem, right? Because I gave Allah Ta'ala the first place. I gave Nabi Sallam the first place, right? So if I was loyal to Allah Ta'ala, definitely Allah Ta'ala will see me right. At the end, right? Allah Ta'ala will see me right. He's seen my whole behavior pattern. You're working for a company, right? The whole life, you work nicely, loyally. You show them loyalty and love and respect. Don't they look at you right? So what you doing of Allah Ta'ala? If you've been loyal to Him, and you've been loving and kind to Him, you've been right to Him, do you think Allah Ta'ala will forget that? Is our opinion and esteem on Allah Ta'ala so low? Because no, Allah Ta'ala won't do it. We'll catch it. For everything else, for worldly class of people, we have so much of ummid and expectation that they will see us, right? Allah Ta'ala, no expectation, no hope. Is that the type of mentality that Allah Ta'ala appreciates? But if that man can do so much, how much will Allah Ta'ala not do? A lot of times I get that complaint, you know, I'm old now, I'm sick, I can't do so well. You know, I can't do so well. So now I'm getting deprived. Then I shout that person. Instead of being sympathetic to that person, I shout that person. I tell him, see, you're working for a boss. Right? And the boss knows that you've been working right. You have the right track record. Inventory in you. So he'll give you a retirement package. He will give you a bonus. He'll give you a lump sum. He'll look at you in your sickness. He will look at you very well. Cover you for all your expense. So when you have so much of respect and trust and expectation in your boss, Allah Pak means nothing to you. You think Allah Pak doesn't love you. Where's your umid? Where's your hope in Allah Ta'ala? Where's your confidence and trust in Allah Ta'ala? In your boss you have got so much of trust, so much of expectation. But Allah Pak, he doesn't have any love. He doesn't appreciate. He doesn't see what you are doing. Doesn't he accept? Doesn't he appreciate? كَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. He is the most appreciative. He knows that he'll appreciate. This element really is missing in our lives. We don't have that in mind. That Allah Pak is watching, he's appreciative, he's grateful for the good that you do. Even that broken steps that you're doing, but you're trying, you're sincere, you're loving, right? You're honest to Allah Ta'ala. Every step of yours, Allah Ta'ala appreciates. He loves it. When you have got that expectation in people, it's the wrong people that you have got expectation. The company can fail. They can fail you, right? But Allah Ta'ala, can he fail you? I ask you, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, can he fail you? He'll never fail you. Try, be committed, be loyal, and have an expectation with Allah Ta'ala. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. In the manner that you will deal with Allah Ta'ala. My Allah Ta'ala is loving, he's caring, he's appreciative, right? Allah Ta'ala will see for you. And let this be that feature in your heart, in your mind, every second of your life. Allah Pak, I love you. I'm pleased with everything of yours. Every second of my life, every decision of yours, be it to my dunya, be it of my by deen, but everything of yours, every decision of yours, I love it to bits. Allah Pak, keep me with this belief, with this frame of mind, and let me end up my life with this frame of mind. Say it in the morning, say it in the evening, say it throughout the day, Raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Really, I feel if you say it from your heart, this is one of the greatest things that will secure your iman. That will keep you going on the boat of iman right to the point that you reach the shore of safety.